Pay attention to this in discipleship. All right? It's a word, follow. Okay? It's the word, follow. You cannot have discipleship without learning the art of following. All right? Oftentimes, not many people are good at following. Because just maybe they have not been taught how to follow, or they have not been schooled on how to follow. So you get to realize that following is an art, right? And it's a great art. It's a great art. But unfortunately, not many people know or understand what it means to follow. Now, in discipleship, a vital trait of discipleship is following. Right? Let's look at a few scriptures. Matthew 4:20. And they straightway left their nets and followed. Right? He's talking about the disciples here. So they left their nets. Now that's some kind of intensive form of following. Right? So that's intensive. I mean, imagine Peter, Jesus appears to Peter. I mean, meets Peter at the shore and he's fishing. And then, you know, Jesus tells Peter to leave off his nets and follow him. And he leaves off his nets and follow him. That's some kind of high class following. You know, in today's language, that'll be dropping a job. It's like you are needed. See, but I went to medical school. What are you talking about? You know, say, follow me. Right? Luke was a medical doctor. Actually, he was a medical doctor. So Luke was very skilled at following. How come some people are still joining in at this time? It's 11:55. How is it that you are joining in at this time? That's very strange. All right? Please, let's not join in late. Let's make sure we're joining in early. Are you listening? Yes. So Jesus Christ actually was a good teacher. And so he had people who knew how to follow. So he tells Peter, Peter, you should leave off your nets and follow me. And that's like saying, okay, you're an engineer. It's time to follow. Right? Stop work and follow. That's not what I'm saying in this context, but I'm teaching you contextually what happened. Peter was a fisherman. In fact, he was a skilled fisherman, right? And Jesus tells him that, I mean, we get an account from, I don't want to take long on this because it's something simple to understand, yet it takes quite some number of, you know, time to actually follow, right? So Jesus meets his disciples and tells them, follow me. They leave off their nets and then they follow him. Just look at two verses after. All right. So same chapter. Two verses after. And they straightaway left their nets and followed him. Two verses after. So 4:22. Right. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. So they were involved with several other things. Do you understand? They were involved with several other things. And he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. That's some kind of following. So Jesus is explaining to us how men followed is that they followed. Right? Even when they had several other things to do. More intensively, they followed and they left what they were doing. So they were mending their nets. In today's common language, could be still involved with other issues. They were still involved with other issues. They still had things they had to do. They said, "Oh, I'm going for a birthday party." In fact, the word disciple is matateo, is a student, a pupil, one who knows how to follow. So when you substitute the word disciple, actually, which is matateo, is quite different from the word follow. But the word actually disciple connotes following. It connotes teaching. It connotes learning. Right? So you're receiving from one. So that's how intensive it is. So they were involved with other things. Oh, we had to go shopping. But your teacher is not going shopping. Your teacher is going for evangelism. We had to visit the beach because we wanted to have a good time. But your teacher is not visiting the beach. I had to go off with some friends to see the sceneries. But your teacher is probably in a 4-hour prayer session and other followers are there. Right? So you get to realize how intensive follow is for Jesus, that they neglect everything that they had to do, including mending their nets to be present where Jesus is. I'll explain that in simple terms. Matthew 8:23. Let's look at Matthew 8:23, what it says. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. Verse 24. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Now, what happened is that, okay, that's fine. Just 23 and 24 is okay. So when he entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. So you could realize there was a consistent activity of following. I'll show that to you. There was a consistent activity of following. You will not find anywhere except for Jesus praying secretly to the Father or having communications with the Father in prayer that you will not find either of his disciples, which were his followers. To a very great extreme, you will find probably James and John. Why? Because they were good followers. They knew how to follow. Do you understand? They knew how to follow. So oftentimes you will find it interesting that someone is a disciple and someone is learning and being blessed by what is happening and they're not following. Now following, like I said, is an art. Remember, he goes into the boat and they're present. Right? Let me expound more on this. Matthew 19:27. I'm just taking you, just giving you, you know, a slope down the Gospels on following. Matthew 19:27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? Now, just before I read the last few scriptures, the word follow actually is one that accompanies. Right? Is a word, one that accompanies. Right? It is also to be behind one who precedes. So it means there's someone ahead, and then there's other people who follow. So there's a preceding person, and there's another that follows. It also is to side with another's party. It's like you are present, right? You join in the activity. Actually, it's a compilation of words. It means, you know, to take in a particular road, the one that precedes. So you will often get to realize that following always entails presence. Right? It always entails presence. It always entails presence. You can't say you are a follower or you are somebody who learns from, and you are not always present. Or maybe you choose when to show up. Remember, I'm taking you throughout the Gospels, and you get to realize that in discipleship, you always realize there is following. So in Matthew 4:20, Matthew 4:22, Matthew 8:23, Matthew 19:27, you get to realize what Peter is asking. We've left everything. We are astute followers, learners of you. Anywhere you see Jesus, you most likely are supposed to be able to see his disciples present. To an extent where they had left everything and they heeded too. It means your teacher shouldn't call you, and you have so many excuses as to why you cannot respond to a call. And obviously your teachers are not stupid. You know, they not put you in a position where maybe you are, you know, let's say at work and we say, come. Of course, that's not something that can happen. But even in some extreme cases, it can happen. But it normally wouldn't happen. Right? So you get to realize that it happens that way. That you learn the skill of being behind the one. Right? That you follow. So it's actually a skill. Do you realize that Jesus had his disciples following him? You know, and Peter is always known to be that guy who has a very straightforward, loud personality. So he's asking Jesus, Jesus, see, everywhere you are, we are there. Everywhere you are present, we are present. We have followed carefully. What's our own in this following? What's going to happen in this following? Right? Mark 14:54. And Peter followed him afar off. Do you see Peter following again? Even in the palace of the high priest, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. Right? So you realize that there's that guy who is a disciple who is always present. It's a skill, and you must catch it. Is that okay? Catch it. Love to be where your pastor is. Love to be where your pastor is. There are even certain times we can finish meetings. Is that okay? And maybe you can, obviously, you can leave after meetings. But there are certain times your pastor is just seated. True people who know how to follow. Let me tell you. True people who know how to follow. You see that they'll be sitting down. It's a key. keen trait of following is that the sheep loves to settle where the shepherd is, because they know right around the shepherd is their graze. I'm not saying graze like G-R-C-E. It's a graze. It's a graze. So it's where they can be fed. They can listen to words of wisdom. They can be enthused again. Sometimes, not even for their benefit, but for the benefit of the shepherd. It's like they make themselves available to be useful. Do you realize that when Jesus moved into the ship, the disciples moved into the ship with him? Can you realize that? And did you also realize that when he was sleeping, all right, most of them most definitely would have been asleep. I'm telling you the truth. But it's just that the storms woke them up because they didn't know who they were. So in discipleship is a learning to follow. You must learn it. Are you listening? You must learn it. Sometimes, even in, you know, how you know your pastor responds to issues, you must learn it. You must learn it. Is that okay? It must be something that you must be strong and firm to do. I mean, I'm not talking about followers. We already have a sermon on following, but I could teach on following right from the Old Testament. It's discipleship, the same picture on right from the Old Testament down to the epistles are clearly split out following. So oftentimes you must know how to follow. Know how to follow. Right? Sometimes you are just in a place and your teacher is calm and quiet. That's the exact position to assume. No, it means there's something wrong. Right? You are very cognizant and you pay special attention to following. I mean, there's times where you find out somebody who is a disciple. Eh? I would have shown you other scriptures on this. Someone who is maybe, let's say, my disciple. And then you get to realize that, oh, some minister B is coming from Zimbabwe. Before you realize, you see someone who claims to be my disciple in that meeting. Then maybe you see that me, on that day, I am probably praying somewhere else. Or maybe not even in any meeting. It means a person has not learned to follow. Did you know that in Jesus' time, right on his 30th day, before his annunciation, when he was baptized right into the water, before he was 33 years, he was killed. There was a great prophet making waves who was called John the Baptist in the wilderness. Bible says that men trooped from the north, south, east, and west into the wilderness to see John the Baptist. But you will never find James, John, Judas, I'm not too sure, but I'm sure you know, but that time I'm sure his heart was very good. It was just a very sad scene that he had to, fall out of the way. But I'm not sure you'll find Peter and James and John right there in John the Baptist's meetings, because they heard that John the Baptist was sent to prepare the way for the Savior. It was written throughout all the Old Testament writings. It was written in the scriptures in the Old Testament. They were provided. But you oftentimes will not hear that Peter spoke to John and said, "Hey, John, there is another that has been written of in the scriptures. It is said of him that he is come to prepare the way of the Father, to make straight and prepare the way of the Christ." It is him that should announce the coming of the Christ. You never hear them say that. It's because they followed keenly and attentively. What is it with you in a meeting? Your teacher is in a meeting. You are in another meeting. Your teacher is in a meeting. What are you doing in that meeting? What do you want? What are you looking for there? You might as well be a follower of that fellow or of that meeting or of that person. Do you understand? So in following, you are very careful to be present always and every time where your teacher is. You're there. I'm not someone that is moved by a lot of things, honestly. No, I just set my sail and I'm there. I'm not moved by a lot of things. I don't get distracted by a lot of things. I set my sail and I'm on it. So you should also set your sail. If not, we are not going to entertain people who are here and who are there. It's a sign of bad following. And we are not going to allow that happen. We're going to fish you out and say, please, we understand you are here. Please be there. Do you understand what I'm saying? Please be there. Stay there. Don't come here. Because all of us are here. This is where we are. It's a sign of bad following. And it corrupts many. You know, it corrupts. It's a seed of corruption in many. Like, I'm going to make some announcement. I'm going to ban certain things in this ministry. Right from, I'll start saying it over and over and over and over. I'm going to ban this. Because the Lord told me this. When was that? On Saturday. On Saturday. He told me this on Sunday. Yeah, and I stumbled on it on Monday again. I said, no, this thing is serious. If we don't start dealing with this thing right now, it's going to be a barrier. Over here in this ministry, over here, I don't know for other places, over here in this ministry, listen and listen very carefully. I'm making this announcement. Over here in this ministry, we don't have tribes. Are you listening? We don't have tribes. And that also means that we don't speak languages of different tribes. Are you listening? We speak English. English is a universal language. That is what we speak here. Are you listening? So over here, we don't have tribes. We don't have, it belongs to Fanti or Ga. And I'm whatever. No, he says that in Christ we're all one. He has redeemed us out of tribes and tongues, right? And that is what he's done for us. He's made us kings and priests unto himself. So whenever you meet, whatever, when you say, oh, this is my fellow Fanti brother. No, please. We don't have Fanti brothers, or he's my tribal fellow. And we don't speak languages, and we are never going to have anything as such as cultural languages, whatever, dress in what language you are called. We don't have that here. And listen, when you come here, we are all one. We are in Christ, that's all. Are you listening? So let's take this. Nobody should be speaking any language to their fellow, or somebody speaking another language to their fellow, because one language understands that. We don't allow that here. After meetings or services, whenever, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, we don't speak any language. Yeah, so that's because what God is calling us to, it will not just be Ghanaians. And we don't want to have that barrier. Because we want to keep Ghanaian culture. There are many Francophone people who be around. Many people from other places who be around. So we speak English. When the French people are around, we'll translate to French. Because French is also more or less like a universal language in those countries. And Spanish also is also like a universal language in those countries. When you say you have French, you have some kind of French, you have some kind of French that sounds this way, and it's only, you know, limited to this kind of people. You know, we don't want that. So a disciple learns to follow. Are you listening? He learns to follow every time. He's present. The emphasis is on presence. Are you listening? He's present. Present at meetings. Doesn't miss out on meetings. Isn't always somewhere. It's like you're always somewhere, right? Like so you're always somewhere. You're always not there. It's like we now have to be here. And now tell you, where are you? Say, please, I'm here. You might as well want to stay there. Are you listening? So people who understand following are always there and are always present. John 1:37. So you always learn to cleave steadfastly to. You conform wholly to an example. Are you conforming wholly to an example? You conform wholly to an example. You steadfastly learn to cling and cleave to. That's who a follower is. That's who somebody who knows how to follow acts. He's always present. He's always active. He's always connected. He's always in there. Are you listening? And the two disciples heard him speak and they followed him. John 1:37. They heard him speak and they followed him. Are you going to be a good follower who learns to follow? Right? The last thing I'd want to say on following, verse 38. To verse 42. Yes. Let's just flow like that and just come down. Yes, so 38, 39, 40, 41, 42. Then Jesus turned and saw them following. Do you see that? He turned and he saw them following. So you're always right at that step behind. Then when he saw them following, he said unto them, what do you want? What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where do you stay? Right? They followed. Now, it is in genuine following you will have answers to questions. Because you will be able to ask, Pastor, where is this? Pastor, why is this? Pastor, what do you have to say about this? Pastor, what can I do about this? Right? So it is in following, you will have questions and you have answers to them as well. So he said unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which had heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon, Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. Right? So there was one that was, before he became a follower, he was everywhere. Today is here, tomorrow is there, tomorrow is here. But when he started following, he was settled. You know, some people are not good at making decisions. And that is how, what they should do, another man comes to take. Because they are not quick at making decisions. Say, oh, I still want to be a follower of this man and this man. Please, that's not how you follow. No man of God who knows you're not a true follower gives you responsibility because you are not trustable and you are not dependable. It's true. You can look around me. All those who I give responsibilities are trustable and are dependable. I can depend on them. I know this is not a sheep I'm sharing with somebody. Say, so-and-so. I know I'm not sharing somebody's mind, somebody's strength, somebody's energy with another person. And that is how I can trust you. Imagine Jesus trusting, look at him, what happened to Jesus. Jesus is trusting Judas, but Judas has an affiliation with Pilate and his companies. How wouldn't Jesus be betrayed and be sold for 30 pieces of silver? How wouldn't Jesus be betrayed and be sold for 30 pieces of silver? So oftentimes, great responsibilities are given to great followers because they are present all the time. Do you understand? Hey, let me tell you, I'm one of the people you'll be shocked, because I believe that God can do anything with anyone. Look at all the people around me. They were not any ministry people. I always say this. They were not any. I didn't go to steal anybody's head pastor and say, come and be. All of you were made, taught you, followed up, texted you, called in, followed up, taught you the gospel, made sure you were present at places I wanted you to become. So I didn't go to pick somebody and say, leave your church and come to this place. I mean, all the people who are with me today are the same. I mean, look at Martina. Martina, I took Martina. It was the same. She's very diligent, very giving. That's a good example. I know I don't share her with anybody. She has handled the finances of the ministry for close to 2 years now. I've not had any issues with her. It's quite recently she sent me a list, and then the Holy Spirit said, no, that's not the list. I was about to text her. She said, oh, somebody had sent in something. So she was changing it. You see, dependable is that they are always present. And you can see it. Every meeting you see her there. So to these people, great can be given to them. And it doesn't matter whether the person looks very stout and big and tall. Let me tell you, God can use anybody. I'm the one that believes that. Because if you look at me, you never believe that God has called me into the ministry. When I was working with Ivan one day, quite recently, I think his friend met himself and myself. And I said, please, this is my pastor. And the guy said, this boy be pastor. Couldn't believe his eyes. The person standing there doesn't look like a pastor. Say, he be pastor. Oh. He doesn't look like a pastor. Looks very innocent. Doesn't look like someone who can even talk. But he is a pastor. And God is using him. And God will keep using him mightily. And it will increase and grow. So God can use anybody. I'm telling you, if you think you are not dispensable, you'll be shocked. You'll be shocked. I'm telling you this. You know, Paul's separation with Barnabas, actually, there was John Mark in the story. John Mark was supposed to be like an associate with Paul. And then something happens, and then he gets angry. Barnabas splits out. John Mark split it out. What did Paul do? You get to realize at that point in time was when Paul sailed. He found Timothy, an innocent young boy of whom people spoke well of. Oh, Timothy is humble. Oh, Timothy is good. What did Paul do? Paul took Timothy. He took Timothy and drove alongside with Timothy. Right in Paul's second letter to Timothy, first and second letter to Timothy, you find him laying emphasis on the fact that he had no man like-minded like Timothy. You'll be shocked. Don't overput yourself at things God can do. He can do without all of us, myself inclusive. He can do without all of us. He can close his eyes and open and say, what I want Pascal to do, he will do. So, everybody is dispensable. We are not indispensable. I mean, you can just say, no, this thing has stopped. I'm going to look for money somewhere. And I don't want to be a ministry material. I don't want to serve God. You'll be shocked. God is looking for someone. In fact, the funny thing is that maybe he has already found someone. Because we saw that in David and Saul's story, when the prophet Samuel cried that, God, what have you reached? He said, get up, clean your tears. I've already found somebody who is after my own heart. And that was David, a 17-year-old boy. So everybody can be replaced. Put that in your mind and in your heart. When we teach you about following, you see, sometimes I sense God's heart in choosing people. If you ask me, the reasons why I give certain things to people to do and I push them to do certain things, it's not because I want them with me. I'm telling you the honest truth. It's not because I want anybody with me or I want this person with me. No, oftentimes in my heart, I'm like, let me give this person an opportunity to be relevant in God's plan. That's my heart. I'm telling you, that's my heart. Is that I put it in my heart and I say, let me give this person an opportunity to be relevant in what God is doing. That's always my heart. So when we give opportunities, is that in our hearts, deep down, we are saying, we know God is doing something and God wants to do something. Let me put this person here so that this person can be relevant in what God wants to do. But people might not take it serious. Might say, oh, we are better off without it. No, don't be better off without it. Are you listening? Fight to stay in God's plan. Don't be better off without it. Oftentimes, even when I give people responsibilities, I don't even look at strengths. I don't. I just say, God, I want this person. I believe that's how God chooses his men. Sometimes I feel that way, that is how God chooses his men. Is that he just looks at you and say, you, I want you. I want you. Why do I want you? Is it because you are capable? No, it's not because you are capable. Even though sometimes we look at capabilities, and it's just that he just wants you. That's all. He has chosen you. That's all. Right? So in following, you learn to follow. Are you listening? Learn to follow and be a good follower. Let people see that this person, oh, this person is a follower. You can't take it away. This person knows how to follow. This person is attentive in following. He is not double-minded. You see, that's why many people can't make decisions. And at the end of the day, they are left out of the decision they should have made. I admire this man of God. But you know your pastor is here. He's the one that teaches you. He's the one that you hear from directly. But you are still calling some other man of God something. You never get to meet him. You never get to hear from him directly. You never get to. There are people actually that labor over you that you are ungrateful for. So you learn to understand this and then you follow. Are you listening? You learn to understand this and then you follow. Just follow. Whatever you see, you do. You are present in there. Sometimes thinking about something. You know, oftentimes I was of the different opinion that, you know, oftentimes when a pastor kneels down, like let me tell you my heart, when I kneel down, I don't like it when I see everybody kneel down. So I kept on asking in my heart, Lord, I don't want this. When I kneel down, I want to kneel down alone. I don't want people kneeling down with me. And God said something in my heart. He said, the Lord spoke unto Abraham and said, he trusts that Abraham will command his household in the way of the Lord. That's what he told me. And I said, uh-huh. And he said, do you know that teaching people the word is teaching people to worship God? And I said, ah, okay, well, that means when you kneel and they kneel alongside, that's teaching them to be reverent to me. I said, God. Oh, that's what he meant. He says, that is what it means. So when you see, I never liked it that way until he gave it to me in this way, right? He said, whenever you kneel and they kneel alongside with you, it's teaching them to be reverent before God so that you all can show great reverence to the Lord while you kneel. So when you see your pastor kneel and you kneel alongside, that's saying, I learn from him what it means to reverence God. It's not that I worship him. Is that I'm learning Christ from him. So when he kneels, I learn that state. It's a posture of worship. And so when he kneels, everyone else kneels. Why? Because we learn worship from him. Do you understand? I'm now teaching you what it means. Are you listening? Now teaching you what it means. So the moment you see that, sometimes even your pastor prostrates. Somebody who is not a good follower and a good learner, you see them standing up like this. It means that we choose when we decide to. No. But when he kneels, you kneel. You are learning Christ from him. When he prostrates, you immediately prostrate. Because there's a teaching. Remember, discipleship is by precepts and by example. So by precepts and by example, you're going to be learning not only by academic preceptual means, but also by example. So when you see your pastor, rejoice. That's not the time to stand and say, I'm very spiritual. I have a very formal approach to things, and I'm very official. That's not going to be learning Christ by example. Is that when your pastor rejoices, it's that great time to jump on in learning to rejoice in the Holy Ghost. So in following, I think this short teaching should be purged and kept. I think I should start a series. I didn't plan to, but it just keeps happening. So you get to realize that not many people are good followers. They don't know how to follow. They don't know how to follow. They don't know how to copy. They're good copycats. But you see, in the kingdom, copycats is a very wonderful skill to have. Yeah, it's a very wonderful skill to have. Like you see something and copy the same thing your teacher is doing. It's a wonderful skill. And that's what brings the power of a union of a church. Is that they know how to copy from their teacher. So as you even see your pastor lift up hands, then you lift up your hand because you are learning worship from him. Yeah, he prostrates. Everyone prostrates. You see the people who are not good followers, they don't say we are on our own. We know what to do. We can do what we want to do in this place. We stand on our own. What was kneeling? We don't kneel where we don't kneel according to men kneeling down. But those are ignorant. In fact, the truth is you don't even know anything. You don't know anything. That's why you are supposed to be taught. Are you listening? Yes. Because you know how to follow. You understand? Sometimes even, remember when Jesus was praying, a very serious sign of bad following is that you learn to do contrary to what is happening in a meeting that your pastor is leading, or that teacher, or whatever you call me. Remember, Jesus took them to a place, right? Gethsemane. Gethsemane. And then he goes to pray. What were they supposed to be doing? They were supposed to be following. How did they follow? They were supposed to be praying. That's following also. That's following also. That's following also. That's following also. But he comes to meet them. They are sleeping. Contrary to following. Contrary to following. Listen, we're not going to build anything substantial if we don't have these vitals. Don't have these vitals. They are very vital. Very vital. Yeah. It's true. It's very true. Very true. Very, very true. Very vital. So you know how to follow. You know how to follow. You understand what it means to follow. A follower. You don't have words on your own. The words given you is what you speak. Words given you is what you speak. I see some people becoming good followers in this place. To follow with their hearts. So that we can build something substantial for the Lord. Following. People be wondering why. Why are these people following? They might be jealous, but that's them. Why are you following this small boy? That's what they will normally say. These small boys that have come. Why are you following him? Why? What's about him? What? Say, well, we don't like him. Don't like me. Doesn't change anything. Follow. Follow. Are you listening? Who's going to learn how to follow well? Yeah, you learn how to follow well. Learn how to follow. You follow till when people see you, they know this guy has been with this guy. I mean, it's just so clear. Sometimes even the ladies, they have everybody must be able to follow. Yeah, it's true. Follow. In doctrine, the things that I'm teaching you, you teach the same things. Things I'm saying to you, you say it the same way. Say it the same way. Are you listening? Say it the same way. Things I've taught you, teach your disciples the same thing. Don't say it anyhow. Don't say it different. Teach it the same way. You know, I'm trusting God for this. I have not entered fully fledged and flamboyant in this ministry of the teacher. But I believe something, I'm telling you, is that we're going to have many, many, many prophets who are teachers of the word. I believe this strongly. I believe it strongly. Yes, I believe it. I can always sense that there's this teaching ministry that bubbles up every time. I believe I caught it from Bishop Dark. I believe it strongly. Yes, I believe that teaching grace is upon me, is working. I can sense it. I know it every time because it was different. I can teach. I'm telling you now, I can teach precepts for several hours without getting tired. As I'm here, I can teach. I can on following. Oh, just give me 5 minutes. I'll have scrolls on teachings to be taught. Yes. Yeah. So it's a very vital thing to do. So you see, you can also catch it. Do you understand? And suddenly you begin to teach your disciples. And they'll get it the same way I'm teaching you. They'll get it the same way I'm teaching you. You teach it the same way, with the same emphasis. They'll get it. It might not be in the same voice, might not be in the same manner, but mannerism, but it will be the same concept, precept, the way it's taught, the same, not any different. You're going to be a good follower. I know this. You're going to have strong following. Yes, we're going to have strong following. Strong follow, people who know how to follow. People who know how. You know, quite recently, I began to sense this aura around, you know, people around me. You can sense it. I'm beginning to see it. Like when I see you people, I see it. I'm like, these people are following, but there's still some more they can do. Yeah, I sensed it on someone. Yeah, so I can't mention her name. I saw her, when was that Friday? Saturday into Sunday. I saw her, I said, this person looks like someone who comes from my loins. She looks like it. I saw her, I said it. I don't know what, you see, it's not just a physical look. It's something spiritual. Something, I said, this person looks like someone who comes from my loins. I just looked at her and I said, this person looks like someone who comes from my loins. I can tell this person was given birth by me. And we're going to have many who will serve God in the similitude of their pastor. It's very biblical. If I had time, I would have shown it to you. There is not one person in the Bible that knew God on their own. Go and check it. There's not one person. When you find a person, bring that person to me. Yeah. You're saying what, Paul? Paul Grande, he's not even in the picture. He didn't know God. He just had an experience, encounter. Knowing God on your own, self-sense, man. No. But Paul read the scriptures, don't you see? He read from Genesis to Malachi. That means there were people that wrote Genesis to Malachi for him to read. It means he didn't know God on his own. Don't you see that? Don't you think Isaiah taught Paul to know Christ and to identify him? In fact, Paul's expansions were on the scriptures. Everything that Paul wrote is actually like light to what was already written. Timothy, as well, Timothy, we all know. Who? No. So, it is like this, that somebody teaches you to know God. Yes, you learn God from men. That's why even when you were born again, somebody had to come and preach to you. You didn't just sleep and wake up from your bed and say, my mind is changed, born again Christian. Somebody get me a Bible. I'm a born again Christian. Yes, John 3:16 says you are a born again Christian. Yes, because God so loved me and I'm born again. So I go around and now I'm born again. No, you had somebody teach you God's word, precept by precept. You had a preacher come to you and tell, this. It tells you, it just tells you that you will know God, right? From other men. And okay. That's why His Excellency are in earthen vessels, right? That we will not have that glory of ourselves, but that this glory will be in the power of God. So God's Excellency are in earthen vessels. Don't forget that, right? God's Excellency are in earthen vessels. Amen. So follow. Are you blessed? Going to become very good followers? Going to know how to follow. It's going to be strong in following. You understand what it means to follow. Yeah. Somebody's preceding, you are right behind and following. Say, stop, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. Be here, don't be here, be here, follow here, be here, follow here. Say, my teacher is here, that's where I'm going to be, that's where I'm going to be present to. I don't have any place to go, because one that follows is always present, right? The Lord has great things for you if only you follow. If only you follow. So don't be here and be there at the same time. Don't appear here and appear there. There's some people who have multiple things, multiple men of God. A man of God for deliverance, a man of God for fasting, a man of God for direction. Then they all come to their pastor who teaches them the word. You're in trouble. You are in great, great trouble. All right? So let's walk in this. It's going to make us better. It's going to help us receive much more. And it's going to help us much more efficient in the work God has called us to do. So be a good follower of your pastor as he follows Jesus Christ. And the moment you see that I've stopped following Jesus Christ, stop following me. When you see that I've come to you and I tell you that, hey, ministry is useless. Let me show you how to make money. Say, life is all about enjoyment, and life is all about, you know, just living a quiet life, not having to take care of anything else. You don't even need to go for evangelism too much because it's a bit stressful with your schedule, and you know, you can do one or two things here at that moment. But if it's in Christ, then you have an obligation to. Alright. You're blessed. You have all of God's favor working for you. Your body is strong, sane, in Jesus' name. You're strengthened every time to follow and to be a good, 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 wonderful, wonderful, wonderful follower. Father, we thank you, giving you all glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. So think about this.